Half of the state's Juno Access money is reallocated for other Lynn Canal transportation projects, and election filing opens in Skagway and Haines. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Emily Files. Those stories and more up next. Late last year, Alaska Governor Bill Walker said he would not pursue construction of the controversial Juno Access Project. The project's goal was to improve transportation between Juno and the road system connected Haines and Skagway. After Walker's decision not to move forward with the road extension, people wondered what would happen to millions of dollars earmarked for it. The passage of a capital budget last week gives some indication. It's still unclear exactly what the Juno Access money will be used for. Governor Walker proposed reappropriating all $47 million to other transportation and infrastructure needs in northern Southeast. House Capital Budget Coordinator Paul LaBolle said that was a sticking point during negotiations. The Senate wanted to get rid of Walker's appropriation. The House majority wanted to keep it. So they met in the middle. About $21 million stays in the Juno Access pot, and $21 million goes to Lynn Canal Transportation and Infrastructure.
It's important to me that the money stays in the region.
Governor Walker was in Haines shortly after the legislature agreed on a capital budget. He attended the Southeast Alaska State Fair with his family and Lieutenant Governor Byron Mallott.
So what brought you to the fair today?
Well, the Fairweather.
The Fairweather is an Alaska Marine Highway ferry.
It was good to, I've not been on a ferry for a while, so it was good to be on one today. Brings back lots of memories, my years in Valdez, 30 years in Valdez. Obviously the Chilcat preceded the Bartlett, preceded all the other vessels, and so it was just nice to be back on the ferry system today.
It's the ferry system that many residents in Haines and Skagway want the state to focus on. Walker visited the Upper Lynn Canal last fall as he was deliberating on the future of Juno Access. Residents here said they wanted the state to invest in a stronger, more reliable ferry system, not a road. Walker did not say whether the $20 million reappropriated for Lynn Canal infrastructure would be invested in the Marine Highway.
You know, I don't know if there's, that's one of the things I'm looking at to see if there are projects in the works. I'm not sure that there are at this point. There's other uses for portions of it. So it's in fiscal times like this, every dollar finds a home. And so there's a lot of tugging and pulling at that money, I'll put it that way.
That money could go a long ways in the ferry system.
Yes, it could, and that's certainly some of the options out there.
The Department of Transportation also does not have an answer yet about the fate of the reappropriated Juno Access money. Here's spokeswoman Aura Landau.
There are no specific projects listed in that appropriation right now, so at a later date, a process will be set up to determine the use of those funds.
In addition to the general health of the ferry system, there are other expensive Haines and Skagway transportation and infrastructure projects on the horizon. For example, Skagway needs a new ferry dock. DOT says replacing the dock would cost about $26 million. Haines's Lutac dock is in desperate need of repair. That facility is the town's entryway for freight and fuel. The cheapest repair is price tagged at $21 million. So, as Walker implied, it may be a tug of war for the Juno Access millions. Skagway residents who want to run for elected office can start turning in their paperwork. The candidate filing period opened today and ends August 14th. Residents there will vote for a mayor, two assembly members, and two school board members. The terms of Mayor Mark Schaefer, assembly members Spencer Morgan and Monica Carlson, and school board members Kara Cosgrove and Mary Tidlow expire this fall. The Haines candidate filing period opens tomorrow and closes August 20th. Haines residents will also elect a mayor this year. Jan Hill's term is up in October. There will be at least three assembly seats up for grabs. Whether the other three spots open depends on the August 15th special recall election. Sean Mady, Stephanie Scott, and Ron Jackson's terms expire. Tom Morfitt, Heather Lendy, and Tresham Gregg are subject to recall. There will also be 4 school board seats on the Haynes ballot. Anne Marie Palmieri, Brian Clay, Sarah Chapel, and Jeannie Kitayama's spots are up this year. The municipal elections are October 3rd. For more information on how to file a declaration of candidacy, go to the Skagway and Haynes Borough websites. Outside of Anchorage, the state's Food Safety and Sanitation Program is responsible for inspecting restaurants, pools, spas, tattoo parlors, food processors, and other facilities. But after several years of state budget cuts, fewer inspectors are paying fewer visits, especially to rural Alaska. KTOO's Carter Barrett reports the check-ins are intended to protect public health, but some places haven't been visited for years.
Salmon patties sizzle on the grill at the Salmon Spot, a new addition to Juneau's many downtown seasonal food stands. Their license hangs just above a box of plastic gloves. With food inspectors available in town, navigating the permits and getting open for business was a lot of work, but not impossible. The seasonal stands in Juneau are inspected regularly. In the western Aleutian island of Adak, there are only 2 full-service restaurants. The federal government considers restaurants high risk and recommends food safety regulators inspect them 4 times a year. But none of the restaurants in Adak have been inspected in over 4 years. In 2013, the Aleutian Sports Bar and Grill was cited for rodent droppings and storing food in the kitchen restroom, among other violations. It's since closed its kitchen. In Alaska, inspections are creeping further apart. High-risk facilities are inspected on average once every 18 to 24 months. In rural areas, it can be even longer. Here's Food Safety and Sanitation Program Manager Kimberly Stryker.
The number of inspection staff at this point would probably need to triple or maybe even quadruple for us to be able to get out with any degree of adequacy.
Stryker's program has to triage. In 2016, half of high-risk retail food establishments were inspected, up a few points from 2 years before. Less than 1 in 5 low-risk facilities, like coffee shops, bars, grocery stores, were inspected. Low-risk facilities are only inspected if there are complaints or if inspectors have time. How frequently Food Safety and Sanitation inspects a facility is based on an assessment that factors in proximity to their offices, the concentration of high-risk facilities, if it is a hub community with access to smaller villages, among other criteria.
Once you go outside of those larger communities, you're really talking about much more expensive travel, much more difficult travel.
Over the last 3 years, lawmakers have cut over $1 million from Food Safety and Sanitation's budget. 2 offices have closed, and 1/5 of the staff has been cut.
I would say that overall, it's resulted in a reduction in our capacity to be able to prevent and respond to illness outbreaks, to reports of illness or reports of lack of sanitation.
The Federal Food and Drug Administration funds contracts to inspect facilities that sell food across state lines, usually large processing plants. The state uses these trips to inspect other nearby facilities as well. The state also raised the fees facilities must pay to make up for lost funds. Jason Wired is an environmental health officer based in Juneau.
Really, really disgusting.
Sorry. And that's his Scooby-Doo ringtone. It's part of his job to conduct inspections.
We're like a puppy dog chasing our tail, so that's just what we do. We're never caught up.
The Centers for Disease Control estimate 1 in 6 Americans get sick with a foodborne illness a year. According to the most recent CDC data, 2015 was Alaska's worst year for foodborne illnesses and hospitalizations since the tracking began in 1998. There were 234 reported illnesses and 31 hospitalizations where the location of preparation was confirmed as restaurants.
I'm concerned about Alaskans becoming sick with foodborne illness. It is completely preventable and it can absolutely change a person's life.
In Juneau, sometimes it takes a visit to reassure food safety. In 2011, Wired closed Juneau's downtown soup kitchen, the Glory Hole.
It was awful. It was egregious.
After an overnight cleaning binge, Wired returned the next morning to see if the kitchen could reopen for breakfast.
Just the impact of being able to do that so folks down at the Glory Hole could have a breakfast that morning you know, that was some of the sacrifices that I look at, like, yeah, that was a good thing.
In rural communities, that kind of follow-up in education aren't always possible. As for the food safety and sanitation program's budget this year, it didn't lose any more funding. In Juneau, I'm Carter Barrett.
For KHNS News, I'm Emily Files. Thanks for joining us this evening. You can listen to and read local news stories on our website at khns.org.